Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
Well, good morning. You can take your seats. I just want you to know, Pastor Craig, I read my emails and I've heard about, you know, some of us who get here early must not take the closest car parks. We have to take the furthest car parks and walk so the new people can come in. So I read that, and do you know where I parked today? I parked way over near the Housing Commission flats. And I walked into church because I thought, I've got to get ready for Sim Street. Got to get ready for Sim Street. So all of us need to be praying and just thinking about, hey, you know, what can we do? How can we play our part for the great miracle that we're all about to step into in just a few weeks? It's incredible. We've talked about it, prayed about it. People have been working for months and it's almost here. So exciting, but so scary at the same time. It's wonderful. I've got to have a confession. You may be released. Can we put our hands together for the team? They do an awesome job. I do have a confession this morning. I'm a little bit nervous. We've been at the Victorian ACC State Conference all week and listening to Canon J. John. And if you've ever heard this guy, he literally is one of the greatest contemporary communicators of the gospel alive on the planet. And so I'm thinking all week while I'm just being saturated by this phenomenal communicator, at the same time I'm thinking, oh, great. Now I've got to get up and preach on Sunday. So I'm feeling a little bit intimidated because I've been sitting in awe of J. John throughout the week. But how many people know it's not me, it's what Holy Spirit wants to do this morning. I'm also a little bit nervous. Yesterday we babysat some of our grandchildren, and in the morning their mum and dad brought home a brand new puppy. Beautiful little puppy, and the puppy immediately identified with me for some reason and wanted to jump up on me, and I thought, that's so cute, and I'm patting the dog and he's licking me and doing all that, and then he jumped up and licked me on the face, but at the same time, you know how puppies have razor sharp teeth? At the same time, he managed to open up my lip. And I have this little razor, like that paper cut, on the lip. And it bled and it bled all day yesterday. You can't see it now, but it's still there. So if I get too excited, I'm a little bit worried it's going to burst asunder and there'll be blood all over my white T-shirt. So if you see that happening, if it starts to leak and there's blood coming out, don't sit there going, oh, look, it's starting. And I go, Pastor Dave, let me know. Okay, let me know. So just yell out or do something, because otherwise I'm going to be in trouble when my wife Sal comes and she's going to say, you've got blood all over your T-shirt. So pray for me. Hey, speaking of Pastor Sal, she's on tonight. So if you've never heard my darling speak, I want to tell you she carries something from God every time she speaks. She's articulate, she's sensitive, she's educated, she's everything I'm not. But she always carries something from the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, if you don't normally come out, you will be blessed if you get here tonight. It's going to be absolutely awesome. 6 p.m. for my darling. If you need a title for today's message, I would just call it very, very simply, just say yes. Turn to the person next to you and just look them in the eye and say yes. Oh, that was terrible. Turn to the person on the other side and just look them in the eye and say yes. Title of my message is Just Say Yes. But hey, before we go to the Word, can I just say, if you're in this room, and maybe you're new to church, maybe this is a new phenomena to you, to be able to come into a church service like this, you might be wondering, you know, what's it all about? Like, what's all this work, but raising hands, people happy, smile, what's it all about? Can I just say, you're in good company. That throughout time, literally millions of people have felt just like you, walking into church for the first time just going, what is this? Maybe you're in church in this room today, or maybe you're online this morning, and maybe you're new to faith. Maybe you've just said yes recently to Jesus, and you're here in church, but you're not quite comfortable yet in church. You know you've encountered God. You know that your life has been changed, but still when you come into church, you sort of look around and think, I know God, but I haven't quite got what they've got. But maybe you're not still yet comfortable in this environment. Can I say to you that, hey, you're in good company too. That over all the centuries of time, so many people have felt just like you might be feeling today. I can remember when I first came into a church, I knew that I'd been born again. I knew that I had met Jesus. I knew that the grace of God had touched my life and I'd been transformed. But I remember in those early days, those early weeks walking into church, I would look around and I hadn't got to the stage yet of lifting my hands. You know that big barrier one day when you lifted your hands in worship? I hadn't got there yet. And I'd been in an atmosphere of worship, and I'd been looking at all these people, and I could see the joy on their face. I could hear the liberty in their worship. And whenever I spoke to them, they'd be telling me about all the great things that God was doing. And I often felt, boy, I don't know if I'll ever be like that. I don't know if I can get to that place. I mean, I know I love God, but I've just got so many problems, so much stuff going on in my life still. And I remember, and I've told you the story before, turning to a good friend of mine, a lady called Mrs. Clark, and she could see that I was a little bit discouraged after one of the services, and she asked what was wrong, and I just said, I just don't know whether I'll ever be able to be like everybody else here that just seems to be in such a great place in God. And she just gave me some of the most wisest advice I've ever been given. She just said, David, all you need to do is read your Bible, and whatever you find Jesus is asking you to do, say yes. Just read your Bible, and whenever you find Jesus is asking you to do something, just say yes. Just do it. And you know, in those short words, in that brief sentence, Val Clark gave me what I think is one of the most important principles for every single one of us that would call ourselves a Jesus follower. And it doesn't change. It applies to us right from the beginning. Salvation is simply saying yes to Jesus. The discipleship, and we're in the year of discipleship. Discipleship is a continual process of just saying yes. And it's the most important ingredient because it matters more than anything else. The reality is for us to keep growing in our faith, it's not our background. It's not our education. It's not our connections. It's not our Bible knowledge. It's not how long we've been around. It's not how good we look. It's not whether we know all the words in the song. It's not whether, you know, we're comfortable in this environment or that environment. It's not whether we've been on the road for years or years. What matters more than all of these things is that we keep the heart that simply says yes. That every time Jesus is speaking to us, either through the Word or speaking directly to our spirit, we simply have a default position. God, if that's you, I'm saying yes. It's simply answering the question, are we living a life of obedience? Are we in line with the Word of God? Are we in tune with the Spirit of God? I want to look at a story that I think just speaks of obedience so clearly. It's John chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. It'll come up on the screen. It's a story that many of us may know well, but some may never have ever heard of before. And it's the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. It says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now. Father, I pray this morning that God, as we sit under your word, Father, thank you that you are, Lord, the author of your word. The Holy Spirit, I thank you that God, as we hear from you this morning, that God, you'll cause faith to rise in every one of our hearts. I thank you that God, when you look at us, Father, you see so much potential. I thank you that no matter what our circumstance, no matter what our background, no matter, Lord, what our environment may be, God, as long as we're prepared to say yes, God, you want to pour out so much blessing and so much favor. So I pray, God, that you would anoint this man this morning. I pray that God, as I speak, you would minister faith, hope, into every heart, in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Simple obedience. It's the very foundation of our faith. And it's the constant requirement for all of us that we call ourselves followers. In fact, if you think about it, it's what actually determines if we are followers or not. Jesus simply said to the first disciples, come, follow me. And he was actually giving them a choice. They could either say no. They could say later on. They could say, I need to talk to my family. I need to talk to my friends. I need to do all of these things. Or they could simply say, if you're calling, Jesus, I'm saying yes. I'm coming and I'm following. But what I love about when I read this story and when I think about the whole concept of obedience is Jesus never asks us to live a lifestyle that he wasn't prepared to live himself. Yeah. That when we actually choose to just have a default of if it's you, then yes, I'm going to do it. We're actually following in his footsteps. Obedience was a road that Jesus knew well. Yeah. And it's a road that he calls all of us as disciples to follow on. John chapter 14, verse 15, 16 says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 10, 27, 28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will be snatched. No one will snatch them out of my hand. We're called to a life of obedience. We're called to hear his voice. Aren't you glad that he calls? Aren't you glad that we can actually catch his voice? I thank God. As Pastor Craig said earlier on, he's our personal Savior. He is our personal shepherd. He calls. He speaks. We know this God. And he invites us on a continual path, a continual life of hearing his voice and stepping into the invitation that he gives us in life. We're called to it. And the beautiful thing is we're called to obedience, not so that we can become religious robots. I used to be afraid that if I gave my life to Christ, I'd just become like every other Christian that I knew. And every other Christian I knew growing up, I didn't particularly want to be like. Because I just saw them as religious people. There wasn't a lot of joy. There wasn't a lot of freedom. There wasn't a lot of confidence. There wasn't what I would call the dynamic of the Holy Ghost going on in their lives. And so I thought, boy, if I said yes to this God, if I said yes to that, I'm just going to turn into a religious robot doing what I'm told to do. How many people know that's not attractive? But the beautiful thing about when God asks us to follow, when God asks us to follow in his footsteps, he does it for the pure purpose so that he can, number one, reveal himself to us, and number two, that he can pour out blessing and favor to such an extent that we wouldn't be able to believe it. The only reason, as we've heard through preaching over the last few weeks, that we are called to obey is that God, as our Heavenly Father, can bless us and can bless us indeed. And as I said, when we talk about obedience, Jesus sets the ultimate example of what it looks like to follow God in obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Philippians 2 verse 6 and onward says, God, Jesus being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to death, death on a cross. If you look and study the whole life, the journey of Jesus on planet Earth, it was marked by one quality: obedience. Simply being able to say to his Father, if that's you, my answer is yes. I loved it when the disciples asked Jesus to teach him to pray, and he gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he would soon be facing the horror of the cross, you know, he cried my prayer, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And again, when we look at the life of Jesus, it's a life that has been laid down. And so if Jesus is our example, we shouldn't be surprised that God calls us to that same extent of, God, if that's you, my answer is yes. I want you. I want your presence. And I want your purpose worked out in my life. So when I look at this story, I think there are some incredible keys to how do we do that? Because it's always a struggle. Maybe it's not for you. But I know in my life, it's always a struggle. There's always part of me that doesn't want to do God's will because I'm a bit afraid, I'm a bit nervous, I'm a bit of a control freak. There's always flesh operating here somewhere that even though I know it's God, there's a bit of a tussle that goes on in my life. So if you know what that struggle is, my prayer is that God will help you through this message. And the first is this, understanding, let's not wait for the right circumstance before we say yes. Let's learn to do it and do it now. See, because when I look at this miracle, in some ways, it's all wrong. It's the wrong place, it's the wrong time, it's the wrong people, and it's the wrong process. Because if you think about it, he's not in church. You'd think, I bet if you were Jesus, you'd be thinking, okay, I'm going to work my first miracle in the synagogue because that's where all the religious ones are. That's where all the influencers are. That's where, you know, God's already on the move. That's where the hungry ones are. But he doesn't choose a synagogue. He chooses a wedding where people, they're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about the kingdom. They're just having a good time. And yet he chooses, this is the place that I'm going to demonstrate the power of God Almighty. It's a wrong place. It's the wrong person and people. It's his mother hassling him. I loved my mum. I loved my mum. She was the most godly woman I know. She was awesome. But there were times when I'd be going, Mum, no. And I think this is what Jesus is feeling. He's going, woman. Like, and in those days, you didn't call your mum woman. Like, woman, like, you know, this is not my hour. This is the wrong, it was the wrong time, the wrong place, and it was the wrong person. And then he uses not the disciples, he uses the servants. He's got disciples with him. They're the ones that he's training. They're the ones that have said, okay, I'll leave my job. I'll leave my fishing business. I'll leave my security. He's got that, and I'll follow you because you've said that you'll teach me to be a fisher of men. Well, he doesn't choose them. He just says to the servants. He just says to the servants. He doesn't even go to the chief. Like, he doesn't go to the father of the bride. He doesn't go to the lord of the house. He just chooses. It's all wrong. Wrong. And yet, it's right. Why? Because Jesus always knows the right time, the right place, the right people. And it may not make sense to us, but one of the things we've got to understand is he's simply looking for obedience. And I don't know if you've discovered it or not, but when God speaks and when God gives direction, he's very, very short on detail, but he's very big on obedience. And if you think all the way through the scripture, we see this principle over and over again, where God simply asks us, he speaks something into our world which does not make sense to the natural, but when we obey, releases immeasurable. Immeasurable blessing and favor. He spoke to Abraham. What did he say? Just leave this place. Well, where am I going to go? He says, I'm not going to tell you yet. Just leave this place and go to a place that I will show you when you are on the way. He says it over and over again. He says to Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, I'm sorry. Wrong time, wrong place, everything's wrong. Moses has been a shepherd out of there. He's a wanted man. The last time he was in Egypt, he was wanted for murder. And now God just says, well, go back there and just present yourself to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Like, I'm sorry, short on detail, short on process, short on everything, but very, very high on obedience. And we know the rest of the story. Moses does, and God shows up. That's the principle. When we say yes, God always shows up. Think about Joshua. He said, just tell the priests, put their feet in the water of Jericho. And what happens? The water dries up. Did he know that? No, he didn't know what was going to happen. He just had to obey. He tells Joshua, just tell the people, walk around the walls of Jericho. Did it make sense to the natural mind? No, but God's not concerned with our natural mind. We're not called to understand. We're called simply to obey. Now, I'm not saying do mad things. If you think God's telling you to do mad things, you better get it confirmed. But the principle is the same. Don't wait until it all falls into place. Don't wait until it seems convenient. Don't wait until it makes sense to the natural mind. Do what Jesus is asking you to do, and God will always show up. Think about Jesus and the disciples over and over again. Cast your fish, cast your net on the other side of the fish. We've been out fishing all night. Jesus says, cast your net on the other side. And a miraculous catch of fish. Feeding of the 5,000. Go and find me a boy. Five loaves, two fish. The little boy says, you can have it. If Jesus wants it, you can have it. What? You're going to feed 5,000 with two loaves? Forget it. No. If Jesus wants it, he can have it. And the miracle flows. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait until everything fits into your understanding. Don't wait for perfect circumstances. If God is asking you, if God is speaking to you, simply say yes. And watch what God will do. When my wife and I were first saved, we caught up in really what was back then a bit of a revival. We were in a very traditional Pentecostal church, but there wasn't much growth going on. And then suddenly my wife and I came in, and we were the oddbods in church, and so we started bringing our friends, who were also oddbods, into the church. Ex-rock and rollers, druggies, hippies, all that kind of thing. One of the friends that we reached out to was an alcoholic guy, used to play in a rock band. His name was George. We brought him into church, and I'm telling you, God started to touch George's heart. And he would come into the service week after week, and you could just see his heart melting. You could see his hunger for the Word of God. But week after week, when the salvation call was given, he wouldn't budge. His hand never went up. He never went forward to the altar call. We couldn't understand it. And so we sat him down one day after church, says, George, what's the matter with you? You know God is real. We can see what's happening to you. You're reading the Bible. You're there. You're engaged. You know, what's wrong? You still haven't said yes to Jesus. What's stopping you, George? George says, it's the dinosaurs. He says, what do you mean it's the dinosaurs? He says, look, if God is the God of creation, well, then where are the dinosaurs? They're not mentioned in the Bible. And if I'm going to put my faith in God, if I'm going to believe everything about the Bible, I've got to know, what about the dinosaurs? What when I know how the dinosaurs fit in, maybe then I'll say yes to Jesus. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, George, you're an idiot. Like, why are you worried about dinosaurs when you're talking about knowing the God of all of creation? And we had to look at George and say, George, forget the dinosaurs. You may not know everything yet. I'm sure God has an answer for you about the dinosaurs. But forget the dinosaurs. If you believe that Jesus is real, if you believe he hung on the cross for you, if you believe he rose again, it's time to say yes. The good news is it wasn't too long after that that George put up his hand. George did come forward. George did say yes, received Jesus Christ and came a full-time pastor serving God, leading others to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we've got things in our mind that don't fit. But when we simply say yes and leave the rest to God, it's amazing what God can do. I've met so many people as a pastor come into my office and they say, "Oh, Pastor, I just feel like I've stalled in my relationship with God. I'm not going to start to ask them questions." And the first question I often ask them going back and just finding out about their journey, and I find out, yes, they're born again. They said yes to Jesus. The next question I often ask is, "Have you been baptized in water?" And I'm astounded. So many times the answer is no. I said, "Wait a minute, you've been in church for years. You've never been baptized in water." And I found, at first I was shocked, but I found that it's actually not that common. I don't know why, but so many times when we see it in Scripture, it's so clear, if you believe, be baptized. And yet for some reason, if it doesn't fit in our thinking, we put it off. And the answers that I've heard is, "Well, my family aren't happy about the fact I'm going here, or, it just hasn't been convenient, or I haven't been able to invite this person, that person yet." And years go by, and still people haven't taken that simple step of being baptized in water. Because they're waiting for everything to fall into place. Can I encourage you, please? Don't wait for everything to fall in place. If Jesus is speaking to you, simply say yes. Because the longer we wait, the longer God has to wait to pour out his blessing. We were babysitting our grandkids yesterday. They got up in the morning. And we had a great day planned for them. We said, "We're going to go for a drive. We're going to buy you a hot chocolate. We're going to go to a market. We're going to have a great day. But before we can do that, you need to go into your bedroom and tidy it up." Well, one of them was just into it. The other one, the little one, no. He did that thing of, "I don't want to tidy up my room. I don't want to tidy up my room." And so he's there in his room and everything, he bang, bang. I went in after a little while and his room's still a mess. His attitude has grown to this. And I'm saying, "Come on, Archie, we've got to get going. We've got a great day planned." He goes, "I don't want to tidy up my room. I don't want to." So I simply said what every parent would say. "Well, here's the deal. You can take as long as you like, but we're not going anywhere until you have tidied up your room. So you make the choice." Can I tell you, it may seem harsh, but sometimes this is what we're like with God. God is saying, "I want to bless you. I want to pour out so much favor into your life. I want to use you. I want to build you." But if we don't say yes, he can't move. He's waiting for us to say yes. Here's the second thing. Miracle only happens after the obedience. Jars had to be filled first. Then came the transformation. Obedience is faith in action. It's not just a, "Yes, I'm going to do that." It's faith in action. Action is the trigger that God waits for. Action is the indicator that heaven is leaning over, waiting for that action. So they filled the jars with water. They filled them to the very brim. The servants didn't go and ask the master of the house, "Is this a good idea?" The servants didn't go and have a prayer meeting. They didn't go and worship. They didn't go and sing. And No. The Bible just says they did what Jesus asked them to do. They filled them. God touched them. Reality is, if you show me a miracle, I'll show you an act of faith. There has to be an act of faith. And if you can show me an act of faith, I'll either show you a miracle that's already happened, or I can tell you about a miracle that will happen. Because God honors our faith. He honors it when we step into and realize, okay, now I've got to do something. It's action that always triggers the miracle. It's like in this building this morning. This building all night was charged with power, but it was dormant until somebody came in and flicked the switch. Somebody came in and flicked the switch, and when they flicked the switch, that little action released all of the power that up until that point was present but dormant. Can I tell you what we do? Our simple acts of faith, you flick a switch, that doesn't take much. I mean, I'm not there, I'm going to flick this switch and the power is going to come on. I'm full of power this morning. And my God, you should see me flick that switch. I can flick that switch like nobody. Like, just stand back and watch me flick that switch, baby. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got nothing to do. You can be the weakest, most feeble. You can have a broken, twisted finger. But you can still flip a switch. Because the power is not our power. It's somewhere else. And it's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. We just do something simple and God does something awesome. I remember when I first gave up smoking. I tried a few times, but I didn't really do anything. I just stopped smoking. But I kept my cigarettes. I'd pay good money for them. I used to roll my own. I can't even remember what it's called now, but I had a full pouch of tobacco. And so I said, I'm going to give up. Oh, God, help me to give up. Help me to give up. But I kept my tobacco. I paid good money for it. So it didn't last very long. First time I was tempted, I got my back. I was addicted. I went back. So one time I got just so sick of it. I remember going, oh, God, when am I going to be free of this to smoke it? God, I don't want to smoke. Oh, God. And I remember God speaking to say, throw your tobacco out. My first response was, no way, it's a new packet. It's a new packet. I'm not, that's a waste. That's a waste. But I knew God was speaking to me, throw it out. So I could tell you, I was walking down the street, I could tell you, it's probably not there now, but I could tell you where the rubbish tin was that I went to, and I remember the pain. I remember the, oh God, it was an act of faith. You might say to me today, well, that was a bit, yes. It's the simple acts of faith that God honors. I don't know where you are in your life. Maybe for you it's alcohol. Maybe for you it is smoking. Maybe for you it's immorality. Maybe for you is you haven't started tithing. Maybe for you you're not serving. I don't know what your simple step of faith is, but I know when you take a simple step of faith, it releases the power of God. We're talking about Sim Street. Goodness gracious. We're all going to walk into one of the greatest miracles that you will see in your life. In the extent of what God is doing in the church. But can I tell you, it didn't just start with a revelation. It was a revelation. It was God speaking to Pastor Craig and to Pastor Nadia, saying, I'm in this. If you don't know the story, get on the website, find out the history of what God has been doing. They stood on the block of land and God said, I'm in this. But then something had to happen. There had to be a yes and amen. And then there had to be courageous acts of faith of getting a team together and saying, how are we going to make this happen? What have we got to do that God can honor? What is our act of faith to step into this miracle? And can I tell you, it wasn't just a simple yes and everything fell out of heaven. It was a yes and then act of faith. It was acts of faith of you and me rising up, believing and praying and then sowing financially. Acts of faith of you and me saying, hey, if we've got to double our number of volunteers, I'm part of it. I'm putting my hand up. I've heard the call of God. I've heard the whisper of God. I'm not going to be a spectator. I'm called by God to make a difference. I'm saying yes. I want to be part of the miracle of what God is doing. I see the keyboard arc. And I know what that means. I think someone's playing with the timer. It's been sped up, hasn't it? It's definitely been sped up. Here's the final thing. Your obedience always, always leads to someone else's blessing. It's never just about you. You say yes, you will be blessed. Guaranteed. You say yes to Jesus, you'll be born again. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will know that God loves you. Your life will be transformed. You get hungry for the Holy Spirit, you will be filled. You'll be baptized with power. You'll be given the gift of speaking in other tongues. If you say, yes, I'm going to be planted in the local church, you will flourish. You will. Your life will change. You will be transformed. If you say yes to serving, you will make a difference. Your life will be richer. You'll build relationships. You'll be part of what God is doing. You will be blessed when you say yes. You'll be blessed when you decide to tithe. I'm telling you, God puts His promise on it. When you say yes, you will be blessed. You will be blessed, but you will also become a blessing for others. You think about this wine. It blessed the whole house. It blessed everyone that was at the wedding. Can I tell you, when you keep in a lifestyle of saying yes to God, it's going to flow into your marriage. It's going to flow into your family. It's going to flow into your children. It's going to flow into your workplace. It's going to flow into every area of your life. Wherever you put your hand to, it's going to see the overflow of God's favor that He puts on your life, but it's never meant to be contained in your life. What's the miracle of Sim Street all about? It's actually not just about us. It's about the thousands and thousands and thousands that God will call home, that God will call into the kingdom, and they'll call Sim Street home. They'll call life home. Yet, will we be blessed? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Will we be blessed? We'll be so blessed. But it's not actually about us. It's about the thousands and thousands that are yet to come. Because your obedience, our obedience, is always, always going to flow on to others. I want to read to you a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God, carefully follow all His commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They'll come at you from one direction, but they're going to flee in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He's giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. Friends, it may be Old Testament, but it's even better in the New. We're called to a life of obedience, not to become religious robots, but so that God can reveal Himself in our lives, through our lives, with so much blessing and so much favor that's going to overflow. If you're still growing, if you're still trying to sort out your life this morning, my advice is very simple. Whatever He tells you to do, just say yes. But if you're saying this morning, hey, I'm good with God, I'm good in life, but I want to keep growing, I want to keep making a difference, my advice to you is very, very simple. Whatever He tells you to do, just say yes. Will be blessed, and you will be a blessing. Would you allow me to pray for you this morning? Father, I thank you that you're a good God. I thank you, God, that you didn't call us when we had all our life together. You didn't call us because outside of you we had so much to offer. You didn't call us because we'd be able to do the job. You called us wherever we were because, Lord, if we just say yes, you will do all the rest. So, Father, I pray for every man, every woman in the house today. I pray for those watching online this morning. God, you are faithful to speak to us. You speak through your word. And God, you speak by your spirit into our hearts in such a way that We don't have to question. We don't have to wonder. Jesus, just like you spoke to those servants, just fill those jars with water. It was so clear, so precise. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we sit here today, God, your voice is just as clear because you speak with the power of the Holy Spirit into our hungry hearts. So I pray, Father, that God, no matter what it is you're asking us to do, give us the grace. Father, give us the power of your Holy Spirit to just have a default response. God, if that's you, my answer is yes. And I pray that, God, it won't just be an answer in this moment, but, God, it will be translated to action. And I thank you that on the other side of our acts of obedience, God, you will release more of your grace, more of your transforming power, and more of your miraculous presence in our lives, through our lives, in Jesus' name. Now, just while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, just for a moment, if you're here this morning, and maybe you are here in this place, but you've not yet said the biggest yes, the most important yes, the yes that probably most of us in this room have already said, and that is simply that yes that gets it all going, the yes that says, Jesus, yes, I need you. There's a verse in Revelation that says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open that door, I will come in and I will sup with you. And you know what that means in today's language is basically that God calls us and he calls our heart. And in our heart, it's an invitation. Will you let me in? God is asking you this morning, if you've never said yes to Jesus, he's asking you the question, will you let me in? Will you simply say, yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I need your mercy. And yes, I need your grace. And I need your love. And I need your power in my life. I can't do it on my own. But the invitation that Jesus gives is very simple. That when you say yes, when you receive me into your life, in that moment you will be born again. You will become a child of God. Not because of anything good that you've done, but simply because you've opened the door of your heart. And because Jesus came for that very, very purpose. Die on the cross, to pay the penalty, to break the barrier. He's the only one. He's the only one that can reveal the love of God. He's the only one that can bring the reality of heaven into your heart this morning. And in just a moment's time, I want to pray. We're all going to pray a very, very simple prayer. Some people call it the sinner's prayer. I love to call it the beginner's prayer because it's where it all begins, with that first yes. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, just say, Pastor Dave, I'd love to pray that prayer. I want to pray. I feel God knocking on my door and I'm ready to say yes. Maybe this morning, you know, you may have prayed that prayer a long time ago, but you've wandered away. And today is an opportunity again where God is calling you and saying, come back, come back. If you're in either of those categories, before we pray, I'd love to know that I'm praying with you. Would you just right now, while I'm speaking, right now, would you just quickly lift up your hand so that I can see it and acknowledge it and say, yeah, I'm praying with you this morning. Thank you. I see your hand over there on the left. God bless you. Others this morning were saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to wait one more moment because it's the most important thing. God bless you. See that hand there also in the center. God bless you. One more moment this morning before we all pray. Wonderful. Hey, if you raise your hand, if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you want to pray this prayer, let these words come out of your mouth as we all pray together. Let's say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me so much. You sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross. And I thank you that he rose again. He paid for my sin, and now I can have new life as I believe in him. So today, God, I make my decision. I open up my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. From this day on, I choose to live a life as a child of God. And I thank you for it. Amen and amen.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.